Well, on Wednesday nights, as you know, for the last few Wednesdays that I have taught, we have been discussing qualities that should be present in people who want to serve the Lord. And I pray today for people that want to serve the Lord in our church and in other ministries for whom I pray, that they would be godly, faithful, diligent, knowledgeable, humble, charitable, and spirit-filled. Seven things. You get somebody like that, you got a good hand, okay? And so in our prior studies, we've done four. We've looked at what it means to be knowledgeable, what it means to be faithful and godly and teachable. Tonight, what we're going to talk about is the word diligent. Diligent, what it means to be diligent. In your life and in your character, when you would hope to be used by God in some way in a local church, in a body of Christ, to be able to participate and help effectually in the ministry. That word, diligent. And we're going to spend our time in Proverbs tonight because that's where that word appears often. We'll look at just a few passages to talk about being diligent. And we want to because if you aren't, you should be, and you'll learn a little bit about that tonight. And if you are, you ought to be encouraged to stay with it, even though you go through, as we heard in one of the testimonies, seasons that are difficult and seasons that are rough and seasons of discouragement. We'll get through all of that. Turn with me in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 21 and look at verse 5. Proverbs chapter 21 and look at verse 5. Tonight we want to talk about the word diligent and why it is such an important quality that you should have in your life as part of your character if you have a desire to serve the Lord. Diligent, that word, means to be characterized by steady, earnest, and energetic effort. Steady, so we're to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Steady. Earnest, really put the effort into it, and energetic effort, that's diligent. And Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5 says, "The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want." So I would say the first thing to recognize about being diligent when you're trying to do something for the Lord is it's going to affect, that character trait in you is going to affect your fruit. Because the word plenteous is the word that means fruitful or productive. And I don't know about you, but if I'm going to get involved in something, I want it to be effectual. I want it to be productive. I want it to make a difference, don't you? People say, I want my life to count for Christ. I want this, whatever it is that the Lord would have me to do, to be fruitful. So in order to be fruitful, you want to be diligent. That is, you want to put effort into and stay with it earnestly, steadfastly, energetically. Really, really try to make that thing happen that the Lord wants you to do. And he says, the thoughts of the diligent, so you're thinking about ways, your mind is engaged in what you're doing to be fruitful in what God has given you to do. And that could be in so many things that are available to people in a local church to do. If you're teaching Sunday school, if you go to the nursing home, if you help it, when Brother Tony goes to the jail, or if you witness, or if you are involved in discipleship or things like that, when you are diligent, when you put forth energetic, steadfast effort, it's going to bear fruit in your life. I've said about people that we have discipled in the same booklets that we use today. We started using them, I did, in the year 2000 when I was pastoring in Beeville and then came over here. And everybody, I've noticed, maybe with just few exceptions, that has gone through that discipleship and applied themselves to what they're learning in discipleship is doing something for the Lord today. If nothing else, just being more faithful in attending and praying and giving and helping in the ministry where they possibly can. And what that does is it encourages diligence in your life. It takes diligence to sow the Word of God. Today, I was on the other side of Refugio, and on the way back, I stopped in Woodsboro. I wanted to get a bottle of water. I stopped at Tuttle's there, and I also wanted to get some of that red pepper jerky they have there, which is really good. And I've got some more waiting for me in the truck when I head home, so we won't be long here tonight. And I had a tract in my pocket, and the cashier checked me out, and I said, "Do you ever see these?" And she looked at it with great curiosity, like she'd never seen one before. I said, It's like a cartoon, but it tells a Bible story." She took that right out of my hand. "Thank you, sir. I appreciate that." Well, what's God going to do with that? But you know what that is? That's just sowing. I started sowing chick tracts in 1986. That's 40 years ago. You know what? And I'm not holding myself out as be like me. I'm just saying, I learned a long time ago that if you want to be fruitful in sowing the Word of God, you start and you stay with it and just do it and do it and do it. Who knows what that's going to look like in heaven? Because you don't know what ends up happening with people that read tracts, but God knows, because it's the sowing of the seed of Word of God. So in sowing, in plowing soil, where you're going back and watering soil, where you're going back to people that you've ministered to and witnessed to, where you're praying like we do here on Wednesday nights, I just can't imagine all these years that Kim or Maureen before her was printing index cards like we're going to pray for tonight with all these missionary prayer requests and what God has done with that. You know what that is? That's that diligent, steady, faithful, energetic effort to move the hand of God for the sake of these missionaries to get something done. Even when you're teaching and you're studying and you're diligent in that study and you don't just rush through it, what you are producing is something that can bear fruit in the lives of other people that you're trying to help. So diligent. It's a very, very important characteristic in quality in the life of a Christian that wants to do something for God. You've got to put some effort into it. It doesn't come easy to do that. But there's fruit in it. I think just another thing that I'd like to say, you're still enjoying the fruit of all that work we did so many years ago in Bible college when I was from the years of 35 to 38, which has been a long time ago now. But I look back on those days and I think, those were crazy days. Our fourth child was born there. Ann had all that to do. I poured concrete during the day, went to school 4 hours a night, four nights a week, studied in addition to that, went to visitation on Thursday nights, street preaching on Saturdays, soul winning, and all these many years later, just putting forth the effort, you know what I'm saying, has just paid off in continuing to do what was started so long ago. So same thing, just get started. Don't be like that guy that got all excited, brought some people to church, somebody got saved, and then fizzled out. Get with it, stay with it, and just keep putting forth the effort. Diligence. Notice then in Proverbs chapter 27, when you are ministering, it's going to involve people. Proverbs chapter 27. If you're ministering, if you're like seeing neighbors and inviting them to church or coworkers and you're witnessing or Sunday school class that you're teaching or people that, again, we say discipling or any way that you're involved, praying with people, caring for people, when you're there, It takes diligence. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 23. This is husbandry. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. Be diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. If you're involved in the ministry, you're going to be involved with people. And I've heard preachers say who've gotten worn out, you know, the only thing that's wrong with the ministry is the people. Because it can be hard. And the Bible describes us as a flock. Peter is talking to pastors, writing to pastors in 1 Peter chapter 5, and he says, feed the flock. So we're the flock. We're sheep. And he said here, be diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. When you're ministering to people, you want to be able to know the state that they're in. You want to look well to your herds. And you want to be involved with them. A preacher friend of mine says, shepherds ought to smell like sheep from hanging around them. Years ago, when we started the church in the bunkhouse on the ranch, we didn't have as much to do, obviously, administratively, and we were dealing with people. But from time to time, Benny would ask me if I'd want to come out and work cattle at Angelita. And I'd love to, because we'd get on horseback, and we'd ride, and we'd talk, and we'd carry on. And it was always fun to work with him, because he worked with people really well, and he worked with cattle really well, and he worked with horses really well. It was always a pleasure to be with him. So we went to another ranch over at Woodsboro, where there was a fellow that needed us to come over and help, and Benny asked me if I wanted to go over to the Terrell and help out, and I said, sure. So we gathered up the cattle, and we're getting ready to pin them, and when they got to the gate, they just scattered everywhere. And I said to Benny, I said, these are the same breed of cattle that you have at Angelita, but what's the deal? Why did they scatter? And he told me something that I've never forgotten. He said, this guy doesn't ride his herd. Meaning he doesn't get horseback around those cattle. And when they got to the gate there, they spooked. They spooked. The point is, you got to spend time with the people you're ministering to. You got to know the state. You got to be available. I know pastor friends of mine don't like to be around to offer counsel. They'll say, you want counsel, you just listen to me preach. Well, preaching is preaching and counsel is counsel. It's nice to be able to have somebody you can come to when you have a need and say, God, I've got to sort this out. We have to pray and be able to do that. That's part of ministering to your flock, to your herd, and knowing the state. So if you're ministering, and that takes diligence. That takes diligence. You understand? So it's important. Diligence is important for fruit, and diligence is important for your flock. If you're a Sunday school teacher, you ought to be checking up on them. You ought to know how they're doing in their families. Be available to them. The only time they hear from you probably shouldn't just be the 1 hour you have them in class. Okay? You know, one of the things that really has been such a blessing to me is that I love our college and career age people in church. And after Randy left, we really wanted to be able to continue to minister. And so after prayer, approached Bain and Mary Beth, would you do that? And he's like, man, those kids are going to know more Bible than I do. I don't know if I can do this preacher or not. I said, well, you take it up with the Lord, but he's put you on my heart. And they don't have children. Never been able to have children. But he's got nephews, and he has been such a good uncle to have been with those nephews the whole way through. And he's got a nephew that's saved, going to church, married, and it was his involvement with him that boy came to Christ. And we've had several meetings with those. Anyway, long story short, I said, I think you'd be ideal for it. Well, those of you who are here tonight that are in that class, you know, Mary Beth will check up on you girls, and Bain wants to be around the guys and all that. And that's a pleasure to me, because it doesn't just involve 1 hour a week. And he puts a lot of time and effort in preparing those lessons. And they put a lot of time and effort in praying for y'all and being available to you. But you know what that is? It's diligence. He runs a good farm. He's diligent in the pastimes that he's had. And took a lot of time with those nephews. I felt like those were characteristics that would help him, and they really have. They really have. So what do we have here? Diligent is characterized by this energetic effort. So that's important for your fruit. It's important for your flock. Look at this in Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, look at verse 4. Being diligent, having that quality, that character trait, is important for your fruit, your flock, and your future reward. Your future reward. Look at this in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent does what? Maketh rich. You know, being in the ministry is not a way to get rich. I mean, if you're Joel Osteen, it is, but I'm just saying ordinarily, this is not where you go if you're trying to get rich. But our prosperity in the ministry is not measured by what is happening now, right? It has to do with future reward. That's what the ministry is about. Because you and I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So he said, if you have a slack hand, what is that? That's characterized by slowness, sluggishness, lack of energy, just not putting forth the effort. All right, you don't put forth the effort. It's not going to amount to much. And poor certainly at the judgment seat of Christ, because you come to present what you've done in service of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's looking at you like, that's pretty poor showing right there. You didn't put much effort into what you're doing. There's not much reward for you. But when somebody is diligent, you're putting forth this steady effort and really, really working, as he said, diligently in the thing God has given you to do. And he says, that's going to make you rich. You get to the judgment seat of Christ, and the Lord said, I watched how you served. I watched how you served me and how much effort you put in to doing the very best that you possibly can in what I've given you to do. And here is your reward. And I'll tell you, the guy who is diligent is going to be rich by comparison to the person who has a slack hand when it comes to the rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. And the problem with us sometimes is we look too far down the road at things that don't matter. The eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth, okay? But not far enough down the road for the things of heaven. You got to keep the judgment seat of Christ in mind. Make every decision. I have a little plaque that Adrenaline Peacock made for me many years ago, Pastor Peacock's wife, and it said, make every decision in the light of eternity. That's very important. And when you and that work that you do, always do it with the judgment seat of Christ in mind. It will keep you motivated to the very best that you can with what God has given you to do. That will help you with diligence. You will give account. When God has given you something to do one day, you're going to give account. When you're diligent, you can expect something in return for what you've done, far greater than somebody that did not put in the effort. Okay? So it's very important for your fruit. It's very important for your flock. It's very important for your future reward. And then finally, look in Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, and look at verse 24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. To be under tribute is to have a boss telling you what to do all the time. So the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. You say, rule what? What are you talking about? If I'm going to be doing something for the Lord in the ministry, again, look further down the road at heavenly things. What did the Lord say in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 about those of us who get saved? What is God going to make us in the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ? Kings and priests. That's what he intends to make you, is a king. And what do kings do? They rule. They rule. You know, Proverbs you don't have to turn there. 22 verse 29 says, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings." Who is your king? King Jesus. "And not before mean men." You know what a mean man? Not a mean man like, "You angry." Not that mean. Mean like just the average, ordinary Joe. You're going to stand before kings. You're going to stand before King Jesus, and what you want, and I promise you, because the Bible tells you this is coming if you will do it, you would much rather rule than be under tribute in the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say, you don't want to be the water boy. You want to be on the team. Okay? You don't want to be benched. Slothful shall be under tribute. Slothful is lazy. And people, there are people who help in churches. I'm not pointing out anybody here because I don't have anybody in mind. They're just lazy. Just put in minimal effort, little bit. Little is whatever it takes to get by. That's not how to do it. You want to always do it in a sense that you have leadership in mind. And you say, in what respect? People's lives are affected by what you do when they watch you as an example of what they should be doing. It's not just what you say. There was a fella that was pretty worn out with the little class that he had in his church. He didn't think he was doing much good. He was discouraged, had a rough time, got down, and just made up his mind that really what he ought to do is just quit. He'd worked hard, not much was being done. And he had finally made up his mind, whether God was going to permit him to do it or not, that he was going to quit. And where they were at the time, the kids were in a large tent, like at a camp. They were all there, his class, were all in this large tent. And as he was walking up to them to announce that, you know, in due time I'm going to be done with this, he could hear two boys talking inside the tent through the panel. And one said to the other, "You know, I think teacher, whatever his name is, doesn't like this anymore. I think he's going to quit." He heard him say that. And the other one said, "Him? He's not going to quit. He's not a quitter." And before he walked in that tent, he had changed his mind. You know what? Because the way he was living was an example to those boys. And that one said, "It looks like he's going to quit," because they could probably read that he was despondent. But the other one said, "He's not a quitter. He didn't quit." And that's the way we need to be as we, here we are in the area where we are in the church age. You got to keep in mind that what you're doing influences other people and will in the millennial reign of Christ when you are bearing rule as a standing before King Jesus rather than somebody else that just did the minimum to get by and stands before mean men, just the average citizen of heaven. You don't want to do that. So being diligent, that's why it's so important. It affects your fruit. You stay with it. You work hard. Put in the effort. It affects your flock because you got to keep up with them. It affects your fruit, your reward. The hand of the diligent it maketh rich. And it affects your future reign. And you want to keep that in mind. Father, thank you tonight for an opportunity to be encouraged and instructed right out of the Word of God. And I really do pray that the little lesson we had tonight might help somebody here that was thinking, "I don't know if I want to do that," to do it and do it well. Or somebody else that might be afraid to recognize, if you do step up, you got to put forth the effort. And I ask you to do that for us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.